Our scripture reading this morning is from Leviticus. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 and 14 through 17 can be found in the Pew Bible on page 85 and in the large print Bible on 110. Hear these words. The Lord summoned Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any of you bring an offering of your livestock to the Lord, you shall bring your offering from the herd or from the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you shall offer a male without blemish. You shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting for acceptance in your behalf before the Lord. You shall lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable in your behalf as atonement for you. The bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord, and Aaron's sons and the priests shall offer the blood, dashing the blood against all sides of the altar, that is the entrance of the tent of the meeting. The burnt offering shall be flayed and cut up into its parts. The sons of the priest Aaron shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the parts with the head and the suet on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But its entrails and its legs shall be washed with water. Then the priest shall turn the whole into smoke on the altar as a burnt offering, an offering of fire of pleasing odor to the Lord. If your offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, you shall choose your offering from the turtle doves or pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and turn it into smoke on the altar. And its blood shall be drained out against the side of the altar. He shall remove its crop with its contents and throw it at the east side of the altar in the place for ashes. He shall tear it open by his wings without severing it. Then the priest shall turn it into smoke on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For the scripture this morning, the elements should be exposed. I normally read the scripture, the gospel, from in the midst of the people. But this gospel fits for at the table. If it is your desire to stand with me for the reading of the gospel, I invite you to do so. This is from Luke 22, verse 14 and following. "When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks for it, he said, 'Take this and divide it amongst yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is poured out for you and for many. It is the covenant in my blood.'" The word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. What did you think of the reading that Bill read this morning about the altar, the preparing the burnt offerings, preparing all of the creatures and how to do all of that work and how to make all of the arrangements on the altar. I want to read you the ordination. This is Moses is the definition of how, or how the ordination occurred. This is out of Exodus 29. Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall slaughter the ram, and shall take its blood and dash it against the sides of the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into parts and wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with the burnt parts and with the head, and to turn the whole ram into smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing odor, an offering by fire to the God. Smell with me. Remember and realize what was happening. Smell and feel the heat of the fire. Can you hear and experience that time? You shall take another ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall slaughter the ram, and take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the lobes of the ears of the right ears of his sons, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes on their right feet, and dash the rest of the blood against all sides of the altar. Then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his vestments, and on his sons' vestments with him. Then he and his vestments shall be holy, as well as his sons and his sons' vestments. What did you think of that? Can you take yourself back to that time, participating in one of those offerings? The fire, and you feel the heat on your face. You can experience when the wind shifts, the smoke coming to find you. And you can taste. Can you remember that? Can you imagine that? This is all atonement for sinfulness, and it is part of the ritual of the peoples to gather around worship and around thanksgiving. But it was mostly about sinfulness. Now, we don't do it anymore. Maybe nobody has sinned, have they? I hear some muttering. I hear some grinning and grumbling. Maybe there's something still going on there. And the ushers, did you get any bulls or rams or goats back in the offering plates? No pigeons, no doves? I didn't see anything. If you're very, very poor and didn't have all of those things, you could get a little portion of flour. Why would flour be important? Remember, if you will, that there were very few possessions in that time and age, but one of the most important things in your life was what? Food. And here a full bull, you would bring a bull to give it away to as an offering? This touched you where you lived. This was an important part of you really gave. That's what offering's about, giving our first and our best to God. This is about that. And it wasn't a case of, well, you've got a, you know, Mark, you raise lambs. I bet you've got a whole herd of lambs there. No, huh? All the time. And if you need to get one, you pick the one that's the weakliest, the scrawniest, that's the one you give away or whatever, right? Because you want to. But God says no. The first and the best, without blemish, the very first one belongs to God. Now, I was teasing Mark about having critters. Even in that day and age, people didn't raise goats and lambs and pigeons and doves. They didn't have all those things available. Fortunately, there was a group worked, and they raised these animals for the sacrificial system, and they kept the temple herds and the temple animals. But there was a problem, because you come and you say, well, I need to make an offering, and so I need to do a pigeon. I don't own a pigeon, so I'm going to have to buy a pigeon. Well, you reach in your pocket. How many of you reaching in your pocket right now have any money that is not American money? Anybody got any? Now, the church, Jefferson Avenue, somebody said she had Chinese funds. Donna, what have you got? What denomination? A euro? 50 cents? Won't work here. That offering is no good in our offering place. You're going to have to get it exchanged. So where's she going to go? The U.S. Bank? What's the closest bank nearby? Well, they didn't have banks back then. You couldn't use Roman coins, which was the coin of the realm. So fortunately, there was a nice group of people that would help you out. They were called money changers. And they would exchange your money for the proper money to buy these sacrificial animals. Money changers. Peggy, does that remind you of some scripture? Something come to mind thinking about money changers? Yeah, she's nodding her head. She said, yes. And how many of you remember hearing a scripture about money changers? What was the scripture? Bill, you were liturgist this morning. I'll pick on you. He overthrew their tables and did what? And ran them out. How come? Here they were doing a good job. This is an important thing. Why would he do that? It's partly a trick question. They were doing a good thing, a useful thing, but for your $1, they'd change your $1 for another dollar, but it'd cost you a quarter. They were making money on the whole system. It was a lucrative business. Lucre, that's that very word that is about money. And he was turning their tables over because they had turned over what was to be worshipful and a pure profit. They were using the people and using their obligation and interfering with their relationship with God, and he would have no peace of it. But all of this offering was to cleanse us of sin. You know, John Wesley said, he said, humans sin and we do it easily and we do it readily and repeatedly. It's a sad part of the reality that yes, we try, we do our best, but still there is sin. And so you need to come back. You sin, you might absolve yourself of the sin by the offering, but then you'd have another sin and so you'd have to come again. So this repeated offerings were a part of the life. It was a very busy place because, well, they were humans. So you come to the temple, and outside the temple was the altar for the burnt sacrifices, and it had channels built into it so that the blood could drain away, and it had the sides that had been splashed with blood. It had all of those accoutrements. And then you came to the temple itself, and so if you were a Hebrew, you could come into the temple, and you could gather there and worship. But in the back of the temple, there was a place that was curtained off, that was separated away, called the Holy of Holies. And inside that place was where the Ark of the Covenant resided. This is the Ark. You remember the Ark? It was the big chest carried that had the stone tablets that Moses brought from Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were in the chest. And this chest was kept there, and the seat of it was angels in it. It said that this was God's seat, and God was in the Holy of Holies. But you couldn't go in there. Only once a year, the chief priest was able to go in. The chief priest would make atonement for the whole nation once a year into the Holy of Holies. He would take a goat first out onto the sacrificial altar and sacrifice that and make a pleasing odor to God. And he'd take a second goat. He'd take the second goat and he'd say, well, I'm going to take your sins, and I'm going to take your sins, and I'm going to take your... And we're going to put them all in prayer. We're going to pray all those sins onto this goat. And we're going to send it out in the wilderness so our sins are gone. It was destined to die in the wilderness. We call that the scapegoat. Have you heard of a scapegoat? That's where that comes from. Where someone that takes on all of the sins and carries them and goes forth. How come we don't do any of that anymore? Now, I haven't seen your whole liturgical year. Do you have a time when we do some of that later in the year? Or is this, as you know, you're shaking your heads, it just doesn't happen. How would that be? And why did that stop? Did we stop sinning? Yeah, I didn't think so, me neither. I'm trying. We're all moving on to perfection, but we still err and fall short of the glory. Why don't we have offerings anymore? How do we resolve the sinfulness of humanity? There was this young man. He was raised as a Jewish scholar. He was well learned. His father was a carpenter. He became quite well known, and he became quite prophetic. His name was Jesus. He was from Nazareth. And he came forward and he did not sin. And he was without blemish. And he continued to be the perfect one even on to death. Death, sacrifice on the cross. A sacrifice once and for all time for all humanity. That's the Jesus Christ that we come and gather and worship. This is the Christ that has brought us back into right relationship with God and whose sacrifice does not need to be repeated because it is the perfect sacrifice. So I ask you, what is this piece of furniture here? We ought to just do a little bit of talk about that. This is called the chancel. It's a raised area where special religious things occur. So we call it the chancel. In theater, it would be called a stage, but in church lingo, it's a chancel. We have different parts. Some churches have a little notch in the back called an apse. And you might see some churches, and they have little wings that stick out on the sides that are called transepts. And back in the back there, that's called the narthex. I don't know why. Architectural language, definitions of part of our history and our tradition. But here in the chancel, we have a special piece of furniture. And what do we call it? Two of the bishops that I respect more than any in the world call it an altar, so I will as well. But we need to recognize that it is an altar and it is also a communion table. And this one is fascinating because it is easy to surround it. It is easy to come at it from every angle, and that's important to remember because people from everywhere, all people of color, language, race, age, sex, all people are welcome at this table. And this one is appropriately roundish. I won't call it quite round. It's kind of a stretched round. Along the line of the round table of King Arthur, it has no head because none of us sitting at this table is worthy of being that head. The head is only one. The head is Jesus Christ. And so as we gather at this table, whether you call it altar or communion table, it is a time to gather with all of humanity. All of God's children, all that God has created in dynamic diversity. All the brothers and sisters of so many places and cultures and languages and traditions. And we all come together. We all come together in Christ to this revered place. That's what we will celebrate now as we stop and we pause and we celebrate and remember our communion.